Good morning. So glad that you made through the week and that you are here worshiping together with me. I am so proud of you. I pray that we will have the blessing of the Holy Spirit once more, working among us, working in our hearts and in our lives, touching us, touching our hearts, touching our body, touching our relationship, touching in every possible way that we may experience His living presence once more as we worship together. An Irish walks into a bar in Dublin, orders 3 pints of Guinness, and sits in the back of the room, drinking a sip out of each one in turn. When he finishes them, he comes back to the bar and orders 3 more. The bartender approaches and tells him, "You know, a pint goes flat after I draw it. It would taste better if you bought 1 at a time. The Irishman replies, "Well, you see, I have 2 brothers. One is in America, the other is in Australia, and I'm in Dublin. When we all left home, we promised that we'd drink this way to remember the days we drank together. So I drink 1 for each of my brothers and 1 for myself. The bartender admits that this is a nice custom and leaves it there. The Irishman becomes a regular in the bar and always drinks the same way. He orders 3 pints and drinks them in turn. One day, he comes in and orders 2 pints. All of the other regulars take notice and fall silent. When he comes back to the bar for the 2nd round, the bartender says, "I don't want to intrude on your grief, but I wanted to offer my condolences on your loss." The Irishman looks quite puzzled for a moment, then a light dawns and he laughs. "Oh no, everybody just fine," he explains. "It's just that me and my wife had joined that fundamentalist Baptist church and I had to quit drinking. Hasn't affected my brothers though." Those who love to drink beers would understand the joke very well. Worldly pleasures are difficult to resist. When they appear to so enticing and taste so good, it's all too easy to give in to temptation. This is precisely how Adam and Eve broke God's law and were cast out of paradise. What appears so appealing and tastes so delightful is pop culture, which Satan wields as his potent and crafty lure. When people commit wrongdoings, they naturally feel guilty. However, they often do not experience shame when engaging in immoral behavior becomes a cultural trend. We will examine the peril of popular trend by looking at the example of Demas, who was once a crucial ministry partner for Paul, but ultimately abandoned his faith for worldly pleasures. We may not have heard much about Demas, but Paul's letters show that he was a very devout follower of Christ at one point. I will construct who Demas was and his life based on where his name appears in Paul's letters. Paul wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon during his first imprisonment in Rome, and 2 Timothy during his second imprisonment in Rome, shortly before his martyrdom. Demas appeared in three prison epistles, Colossians, Philemon, and 2 Timothy. In his concluding remarks, Paul often included his co-workers and the names of notable individuals in his letters. Consider how much the companions he had in prison meant to Paul. During his house arrest in Rome, Paul required considerable emotional and spiritual support. The erratic Nero ruled Rome with cruelty and led a wicked lifestyle. Worst of all, Nero was intensely hostile toward Christians. Paul's impending martyrdom was as evident as the nose on his face under Nero's reign. Those who supported Paul were aware of the emperor and the hostile atmosphere, yet they were willing to risk their lives and embrace potential persecution. Demas was one of those devoted and courageous believers. In Colossians 4:14, Paul wrote, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." Luke was a prominent follower of Christ in the early church and the author of the Gospel of Luke and Acts. Paul noted here that he was a physician, which may explain why taking care of Paul's health was significant. Demas is mentioned right alongside Luke, indicating that Paul regarded Demas with the same personal importance as Dr. Luke. The second instance where Paul mentions Demas is in Philemon. In Philemon 1:24, Paul writes, "Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers." This designation for Paul's fellow laborers seemed to have given to church leaders who demonstrated genuine faith and dedication to the gospel and were part of Paul's inner circle in his ministry. We know about Dr. Luke already. Aristarchus was a fellow prisoner of Paul. Mark was a cousin of Barnabas. You know, Barnabas served as a vital missionary partner to Paul. And Mark followed in his cousin's footsteps to work alongside Paul. It is Mark who authored the Gospel of Mark. Paul regarded Mark as someone valuable for the ministry. The fact that Demas is mentioned alongside these three prominent figures suggests that Demas had a significant role in Paul's ministry. There is a turning point, however, when Demas appeared in Paul's letter for the third time. Unfortunately, Paul's recognition of Demas is not the same as on the first two occasions. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4:10, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed to Thessalonica." What happened to the once devout believer and faithful ministry partner of Paul? When Paul wrote his second letter to Timothy, he was nearing the end of his earthly journey. Paul needed all the support he could gather as he faced capital punishment. With a heavy heart, Paul noted that everyone had left him except for Dr. Luke. That's in the letter of 2 Timothy. Demas let Paul down severely. Not only did he leave Paul, but he also abandoned his faith in Christ. What caused Demas to be so indifferent to Paul's chains and impending death that he even committed the sin of apostasy? Thessalonica was Macedonia's largest city and an important economic hub with over 200,000 residents and a large port. Archaeological discoveries show that the city had a theater for musical performances as well as fights to the death between gladiators and wild beasts. Like any Roman city, Thessalonica offered plenty of entertainment options for Demas to indulge in. Interestingly, the name Demas in Greek means popular or a governor of the people. Clearly, Demas the popular loved the things that were popular in the world and ultimately abandoned his faith. Thus, Demas is regarded as Paul's Judas. Just as Jesus had Judas as the betrayer, Paul had one as well. Demas reminds us of Jesus' teaching about many entering through the wide gate and walking on the broad road to destruction. The crowd that Demas represents are not unbelievers, but believers who once followed the gospel and biblical teachings, but now follow the popular trend of the world. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. Ek means out of, and kleo means to call. Ekklesia means the called out ones. The church, ekklesia, is called out of the world. The Hebrew word kadosh for holy has the same implication. Several years ago, I was sitting at an airport, I think it was LAX, and a gentleman in a black robe sat next to me in the lobby area. And I was, you know, naturally curious because I am the man of the robe and I don't wear the robe in public, but he was. And I was curious who he was. And I saw that he was holding a book, and then the book has a cover with a Hebrew letter, kadosh. You know, that means holy, right? And I immediately noticed that he was wearing black robe, and he was holding the book called kadosh, and he was a Jewish rabbi. In Hebrew, holy, kadosh, means separate or set apart. Both ekklesia and kadosh convey a sense of purity that is unstained by the world. God intends for his church to be pure and distinct from worldly influences. Demas did the exact opposite of what God desired. Popular trend may seem harmless, and many churches and believers embrace them, thinking they are doing the right thing, but their outcome is spiritual death. You know, the dilemma that we have as a church in America is that, you know, in good old days, we had this Christian West, right? Most of the churches, I mean, the countries in the West were Christian nations, and they believe in the Bible, they believe in the traditional values. But the trend has been changing, and so many churches have adapted this secular trend, and so many churches are now declining. So when we don't have in the same sense the Christian West anymore, the Christian America that we once knew anymore. So when we see the churches today, and we want to open to whatever churches do, that's something that we gotta be cautious. The following is an excerpt from the New York Times from July 2006. The Huntington River Gorge near Richmond, Vermont, is beautiful but deadly. In the last 40 years, 20 persons, mostly young adults in their 20s and 30s, have lost their lives in the gorge. Hundreds of gorge swimmers have been injured. On the surface, the water of the gorge looks calm and placid, but beneath it are strong currents that run swiftly over treacherous waterfalls and whirlpools. Public safety officials have designated the gorge the single most deadly place in the state. Warning signs have been posted on the side of the gorge, reading, "When the water is high due to rain or snow melt, especially powerful current can easily sweep you over the falls and trap you underneath the water." People are debating about what to do about the gorge. Some argue for more public information about the gorge's risk. Others want to ban anyone from visiting the place. Meanwhile, swimmers continue to be attracted to the scene. One college student attending the University of Vermont, just 14 miles from the gorge, said she had heard about the beauty of Huntington River Gorge and wanted to see it. She said, "People already know about the dangers and try their best to be careful. You can't change the water and you can't stop people from going in." Demas once had a strong faith in Jesus, but the world looked beautiful to the eyes of Demas and led him to spiritual demise. We all face the same danger that Demas once faced. Jesus understood the danger fully and prayed for the disciples in John 17, saying, "Father, they are still in the world. Protect them by the power of your name. They are not of the world anymore. Then I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. Sanctify them by the truth." Maintaining faith in this godless generation is a significant challenge that remains unchanged. Nevertheless, as we read from the Revelations, a countless multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language will make it to the final round and stand before the throne of the Lamb. They are the ones who wash themselves in the blood of the Lamb and keep themselves pure and white. Oh, when the saints go marching in, we want to be in that number. when the saints go marching in. Amen.